It is First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday on the SVI Radio Network with local branch locations in Alpine, Afton, Kemmer, and Mountain View. Your home for totally free checking at GoFirstBank.com. Duke and Dow with you this morning on First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday. And the voice of the Utah Jazz, Craig Bowlerjack, joining us today. The NBA season has begun. The Jazz have had some court time. And Craig, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, Duke, Dal, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. Good to talk to you.
Well, we're honored to have you on with us today. And I guess let's talk about the game last night. The Jazz kicking off the regular season against the Memphis Grizzlies and had a tight one. And kind of your thoughts of the season opener.
You know, I expected nerves, and there were some. I mean, the Jazz at one time trailed by 17, and then they just rallied back in the second half. I was impressed with the way that this young group performed. They didn't quit, which is what Will Hardy expects. They started hitting threes, which, again, as we know, how the three ball can change the dynamics of a game. And, you know, I thought their defense was better in the second half as well. And kudos to Walker Kessler, 16 points, 14 rebounds, 5 block shots. I think Duke and Dow, those numbers are impressive, as everyone would guess. But I think more what I saw was a more confident Walker Kessler. Had the early injury last season, only had 22 starts. Year three is always big in the NBA. And I'll be honest, I thought it was a big night for him just to come out and I think just prove that, you know, he's taken this game serious. He's stronger. I like his rebounding above his head. He's able to grab and hold on to rebounds, and his block shots last night or on Wednesday night were just high level. I mean, just high level. So some good things happened. And you know what? It's going to be a season of development, as we all know. It's a youth movement. You have 6 players under the age of 21. What was I doing when I was 21? I sure the heck wasn't playing NBA basketball. I was barely getting through college. So, you know, it's going to be a journey, I think, is the best way to put it.
You know, when you look at this roster, Craig, tell us who the Jazz have picked up this year. Of course, you have Lauri Markkanen, who has been kind of the front headliner for the Jazz for recent seasons. You mentioned Walker Kessler. Who do the Jazz have around them this year that you mentioned could be some of those developmental players to take that next step?
Well, the 3 draft picks come to mind. Cody Williams out of Colorado was the 10th player taken, and his brother Jalen plays for Oklahoma City. So the DNA is there. And again, it's about development. I mean, he's 19. You know, back in the day, Big T and I have talked a lot about this. You know, there's just not any 4-year players left. Zach Edey, who we saw Wednesday night, played 4 years at Purdue, and that just doesn't happen. It's a one-and-done type of scenario in the NBA, and you have to give these young guys time to grow into their bodies and also just become mentally, you know, tough and confident in the way they play. So I'm keeping my eye on Cody, keeping my eye on Kyle Filipowski, who was out of Duke, a second-team All-American, who didn't play in the opener. But I think he's probably going to start in the G League and work his way up. I like his game, though. And Isaiah Collier, who was injured with a hamstring, he was a point guard at USC, and you guys may have known he played alongside Bronny James, who got to see the first time father-son combo in the NBA earlier this week. So I'm excited. The second-year guys like Keontae struggled in the opener. He's learning the point guard position, which is difficult to do in this league. And Taylor Hendricks as well. So, you know, it's going to be a process. I think one or two nights out of the week you see giant leaps, and then another night or two you're going to see big steps, you know, the other way, backwards. And that's part of the process that Danny and Justin Zanuck and Will Hardy are expecting. But hopefully better nights than not. I just like to see competition. I like to see guys who come out and don't give up when you're 17 down. Because this league, in a game, as you guys know, the 3 ball can flip it. And that's exactly what happened opening night. They had a chance to win, missed a couple of critical free throws down the stretch. And you know what it is, too? It's about learning how to win and learning how to keep your poise. And, you know, another lesson learned on Wednesday.
Craig, one of the things I want to ask you, it's been on my mind as far as the Jazz are concerned. I hope you don't mind maybe delving into some of your opinions on front office stuff. Is Danny, yep. Danny Ainge obviously compiled this huge cache of draft picks and things like that. What are you hearing or what are you thinking that they might be trying to parlay that into? Or do you see any big deals happening for the Jazz in the near future?
I think they went looking in this past summer and, you know, it wasn't really a huge plethora. That's a good word I learned in college, of talent in the free agent market. And that's important. I think Danny made the point, hey, I was going to go big game hunting this past season. It didn't really happen. Look, I think good GMs have to understand that you can't give away your assets just for the sake of landing a 14 or 15 year veteran that may help you short term. I think this is a long term process that Danny is involved in and Justin. Yeah, they do have assets and they will use those when the time is right, whether to move up in the draft, whether to package that with a player that they don't think is going to quite fit into the, you know, the Jazz rotations. So I think Danny still has a lot of, I don't know if you want to say tricks up his sleeve, but he's been known for that, right? I mean, that's what's so intriguing about Danny as a player, won an NBA title as a general manager for Boston. Still, his fingerprints are on the Celtics and their title last year. So I think you just have to sit back and let the process happen. They do have assets, which is something they didn't have with Rudy and Donovan. They were able to bring in a lot of different combinations of picks, and let's see how this works out. You know, the trade deadline, which will happen just before the All-Star break, will be another important part of other teams that have players that they want to dump salary or they're not happy. Injury will also play a factor in how this season turns out for a lot of teams in the West and the East.
Craig Bowlerjack, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz on the First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday here on the Weekday Wake Up. Craig, I admit we are a little removed from the Wasatch Front here being in Western Wyoming, but it appears that, at least from my perspective, this is one of the quietest starts as far as buzz for the Utah Jazz to the season from a fan base perspective. And I don't know if that's because of maybe expectations. I also think maybe the buzz around the Utah Hockey Club probably has a lot to do with that now that there's hockey in Utah. Do you think that attention may be taking off of the Jazz, not just as a team, but as an organization? Do you think that helps them through this rebuild process, or does it not have an impact?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's it is obvious that the Utah Hockey Club has had some incredible games early with overtime victories. They had a tough loss a few nights back against Ottawa. They got shut out 4-0. But yeah, I think when you have, you know, you've been the big dog in town for such a long time. You know, you've had the University of Utah football, basketball, Rick Majerus of, in the past, BYU football with Lavelle. But, you know, still pro the NBA, a pro sport always takes precedence. And now Ryan has brought in the NHL, and I think it does turn the attention away from the Jazz in some ways. Wednesday night's game, there was a great turnout, and there have been great turnouts with hockey. So, you know, fans can pick and choose, or they can do both if teams show promise and draw their attention. I think that's the biggest thing. Do the Jazz play a brand of basketball that fans enjoy? And do they see and do they want to be a part of the development? The other part of your question is, in the past, there's always been, you know, names to hold on to. Rudy Gobert, Stifled Tower, Jingling Joe Ingles. I mean, they still have JCs. We like to call him the Flame with his, you know, three-point shot and the way that he gets into the paint. But I'm not sure Jazz fans yet have really gotten to know this young group, this young core of players, and it takes time to kind of identify with them and become a part of the journey. So I think you have to give that time, but I really do believe hockey will be a competitive part for the Jazz. Fans like winners, and they don't like to wait long, right? And so I think that puts pressure on Danny and Justin and Ryan to kind of maybe put this process along a little faster because, you know, hockey's going to gain a lot of eyes, and especially when they start to pull out wins like they have early. Now, that could change as teams start to know who they are and how they like to play. But competition's real, and you got the NHL and the NBA going head-to-head in Salt Lake.
You know, Craig, just along those lines, you've also got, you know, heavy speculation about the MLB coming to Salt Lake City. The whole area is just kind of exploding as a sports town. The fans along that area and in the region, they love their sports. How do you feel like that is progressing? And do you feel like, is that the end, or is there even more stuff yet to come to Salt Lake City or in the area?
Well, I do remember the great late Larry Miller, you know, was a terrific softball player in his day, but he always had a love for baseball. And I think Gale and the family continues to try to see that happen. The new ballpark, I haven't seen it personally. I've looked at the pictures and the way the building is underway, and it could one day, if they do expand or if a team falls into financial issues, the Miller family can lure them to their stadium. I love Smith's Ballpark, by the way, one of the great views, and same with Lavelle Edwards and Rice Eccles. I mean, living on the Wasatch Front, it's hard not to have a great view, right, anywhere. So it that intrigues me. You got Vegas is popping right now. Words of the NBA could be there sooner than later with expansion, or a team that's in financial disrepair that could move to Vegas and maybe up to Seattle. Those are just rumors right now, but that could happen sooner than later. But yeah, baseball, man, can you believe that would be a three-sport town? And you just wonder, as this city and this area that continues to grow, are there enough eyeballs to actually to fuel both NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA, and sponsorship money? Those are things that always intrigue me, and I probably guess the Millers have done studies on all the above, right, to make sure that if they do get the opportunity, that it actually is financially feasible. So it's a good time, to be in Salt Lake. Olympics coming in 2034. For the second time, and there's a lot of plans to grow downtown Salt Lake around the sports complex of Delta Center and make that a hub. So, man, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing works out in the next 2 to 3 years.
Craig, as always, appreciate your time. I guess we'll just wrap it up by this last question. As the Jazz head into this season, what do you think are realistic expectations for this team?
Well, I'm hoping that there's some surprises along the way. Guys, Duke and Dal, I tell you, the one thing I've learned in the business, and you guys know this too, is that sport is so addictive because it's unpredictable. And you hope that maybe a couple of players pop and mature into legitimate NBA players that can impact the game like Markkanen. But again, it's a long journey at times, but again, the Jazz want to make that journey shorter than usual. So, for me, I think fans have to wait and see how this team develops through the first 20 games, and we'll have a better idea on what direction they want to go. I don't think the DNA of the Jazz is just to call it quits and try to find their way into the top five. That wasn't Larry's way. I don't think it's really Ryan's way. It's not really the Jazz fan, way. But those draft picks could come into play if they want to move up. So keep that in mind, as well. Those have value to some teams. And the West is aging, by the way. And the Jazz have a lot of youth. I'm not sure they want to continue to put, 19-year-olds on their roster. Other teams may be in desperate need of those picks. And that's where the Jazz can work some of their magic. So I like to say buckle up and let's see where we go.
That's right. That's Craig Bowler-Jack this morning on First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday. Craig, thank you so much. We'll hear you on the next call.
All right, Duke Dow, thanks. Have a great day. Take care.
It's all part of First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday on SVI Radio.